Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, now it's out of the 12th Hour in Elgin, Texas. Today is September the 14th, 24, or it is the 12th day of Tishri 2028. We will start our first service on this seventh day Sabbath, and it's also, we're in the week of the atonement and the Feast of Tabernacles, which comes starts next Tuesday on September the 17th. So we are going to do our first day taken from this Kippur Rally, number 4 by Beit Yehuda. And we're in the number 4 section of a study on the who is Israel by the promise. And we're going to continue from our last study. Subtitle is Application as a Lesson that we just had on Moses in the wilderness. And so now we're going to go into the application. Okay, we're going to go into page 94 of the Shepherd Rod Volume 4. Application of the lesson that we just read before about this last Moses is the unlearned Moses. Okay, it says, no, he is slow of speech, has no eloquence, is of a slow tongue, and uncircumcised lips, untrained. He knows not how to approach Pharaoh. He shrinks with the thought of standing before the great monarch, like the mercury shrinks from the north wind. But though this Moses is handicapped, he has nerve. He is not a coward. He risks his life, for he was asked only once to take the fabulous serpent by the tail. And he did so. This Moses is not a crown prince, but a common shepherd only. The shepherd Moses is a type of men who are to bring about reformation and be used in the time of the loud cry, brought to view in the following quotations, quoting Life Sketches, page 245. For the Yahweh is putting burdens upon more inexperienced shoulders. He is fitting them to be caretaking, to venture, to run risk arise, or to run the risk also. Volume 5, page 82. He will raise up and exalt among us those who are taught rather by the unction of his spirit than by the outward training of the scientific institution. Okay, it says testimonies to ministry at page 300. And there's those who can help and Texas, like where we live today, are aroused to a sense of their duty, for they will not recognize the work of Yahweh when the loud cry of the third angel shall be heard, when light goes forth to lighten the earth, instead of them coming up and to the help of the Asher, they will want to bind about his work to meet their narrow ideas. Let me tell you that the Asher will work in this last work in a manner very much out of the common order of things, and in a way that will be contrary unto any human planning. There will be those among us who will always want to control the work of Yahweh, to dictate even what movements shall be made when the work goes forward under the direction of the angel who joins the third angel in the message to be given unto the world. For Yahweh will use ways and means by which it will be seen that he has taken the reins in his own hand, for the workers will be surprised by the simple and means that he will use to bring about and perfect the work of righteousness. Those who are accounted as good workers will need to draw nigh unto the other. They will need the divine touch, also read as it is true. It is not men of the great talents and titles that are needed so much as it is men who are great in the truth, or in the faith, that are great in the faith, in the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua, holiness, consecration, and love, men who are great for Yahweh, and great in simplicity, fidelity, and self-denial. Upon such transmitting of Yahweh's message, life and blessing unto humanity, and for the advancing of his kingdom in all of the earth, review and herald, February 20th, 1930. The Shepherd God, the Spirit of the Prophecy says in the Patriarchs and Prophets, at page 251, that the rod of Moses was a symbol of the Yahweh's power. For the Shepherd God, power of Yahweh, the sheep, Yahweh requires the Shepherd's rod. For the shepherd's rod is an instrument which is used to catch sheep. For the rod and this is an instrument which is used to catch people. What could it be? It cannot be anything else but some wonderful, plain, clear-cutting Bible truth, which should not be contradicted when it is revealed. It will produce serpents, people, or converts by the Reformation. But the Egyptians did the same also, for they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents, and perhaps more in number, for every man cast his rod, but they were counterfeit, symbols of the hypocrisy, untrue Christian. But Moses, God swallowed the rods of the Egyptians, symbol of victory for true Israel. The result is opposition, but true Israel wins at last. And who is the true Israel today? That's who we represent. In Volume 5, page 696, we read, they did not really cause their rods to become serpents, but by magic, aided by the great deceiver, made them appear like serpents to counterfeit the work of Yahweh, a symbol of an outward appearance of the Christianity by the Seventh-day Adventists. But one may say, what? Yahweh's people symbolized by a serpent? Why not by sheep? If the meek and lowly Yahshua was symbolized by the brazen serpent in the wilderness, of which the Moses raised up for the children of Israel to look upon and be healed from the bites of the fiery serpent, then Yahweh's people could be symbolized by a serpent as well. If the rod would have turned into a sheep, it would have spoiled the symbol for the hunt for thousands or not to be a sheep. And the sheep, though, and cared for by an earthly shepherd, but the opposite, but the opposite side. For this reason, the serpent is used as a symbol, meaning wise, cannot be frightened, would not run away from anything, the opposite of sheep. They are to be filled with the Holy Spirit, proclaim the message, and triumph with victory. And the remnant of Jacob shall be in the midst of many people as a dew from the Yeshua, as it showers upon the grass that tarrieth not for man, nor waiteth for the sons of men. And the remnant of Jacob shall be among the Gentiles in the midst of many people, as a lion among the beasts of the forest, as a young lion among the fox of the sheep, who, if he goes through, both treadeth down and teareth in pieces, and none can deliver. Micah 5:7-8. Okay, we'll come to our next subtitle, Death of the Firstborn. The death of the firstborn. And Moses said, thus saith Yahshua, about midnight, that I go out and through the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die. And the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon his throne, even unto the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of the beast, Exodus 11:4-5. And it came to pass that at midnight Yahshua smote all the firstborn in the land of Israel, from the firstborn of the Pharaoh that sat on the throne, and to the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of the cattle. And there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. Exodus 12, 29 and 30. For the firstborn, a symbol of a Catholic priesthood, a representation of Ezekiel 9, 6, last part, for the ancient men that were before the house, and the firstborn, that sitteth up on the throne, and they the firstborn in the dungeon, symbol of Ezekiel 9, 6, slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women. Then they began at the ancient men, which were before the house. For the firstborn of the cattle, symbol of the Isaiah 63:18 and Isaiah 64:1, and Numbers 26:10. In the case of the Achan sin, Yahweh said unto Joshua, now there will I be with you any more, except you destroy the accursed from among you. How does this instant compare with the course pursued by those who will not raise their voice against sin and wrong? Sympathies are ever found with those who trouble the camp of the Israel with their sin, said Yahweh unto Joshua. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until you take away their cursed son from among you. He pronounced the punishment which would follow the transgression of this covenant. And Joshua and all Israel with them took Achan the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? For the Yahshua shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with the stone, and burned them with the fire, after they had stoned them with the stone. Volume 3, pages 267 and 268. It says, and Yahshua spake unto the Moses, saying, sanctify unto me all the firstborn, whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both of men and of beasts, it is mine. Exodus 13, 1 and 2. A symbol of a new priesthood. And the firstborn of the cattle represent a system of support or maintenance. Should a case like Achan's be among us, there are many who would accuse those who might act the part of the Joshua in the searching out of their wrong of having a wicked thought, finding spirit. Yahweh is not to be trifled with, and his warnings disregarded with impunity by a perverse people. Volume 3, page 270. The next subtitle is the Passover Lamb. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of this month, they shall take unto them every man a lamb, according unto the house of your fathers, a lamb for a house, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And thus shall ye eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it in haste. It is Yahshua's Passover. And the blood shall be unto you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Israel. Exodus 12:3-13. All the ceremonies of the feast were the types of the work of the Yahshua for the deliverance of the Israel from Egypt, was an object lesson of redemption, of which the Passover was intended to keep in memory. The slain lamb, the unleavened bread, the sheaf of the first fruit, represented the Savior. This is our religious priesthood. 77. The lamb represents Yahshua, Isaiah 53:7. The lamb roasted by the fire of the Spirit of Yahweh, Genesis 15:17, Exodus 3, Leviticus 9:24. The eating of the flesh, Yahshua, is our life. For in him we live and move and have our being, John 6:53. The loins girded, the truth of the Yahweh, the Word, Ephesians 6:14. The shoes on the feet, the preparation of the gospel, Ephesians 6:15. The staff in their hand, the sword of the Spirit, Ephesians 6:17. You shall eat it in haste. Do not hesitate. Get ready. Quick delivery. Exodus 12:34. And the people took their dough before it was leavened, their kneading troughs being bound up in their clothes up on their shoulders. The kneading trough is the Bible, Ephesians 6:13. The dough is the word of Yahweh, it contains Ezekiel 44:30. The type, unleavened. The unadulterated word of Yahweh, and it must be kept as such. Revelation 22:18. For the kneading trough on their shoulders means, make sure you have the whole word of Yahweh continually with you. Thus shall you depart from Egypt. Ephesians 6:13. For the bondage in Egypt represents the bondage of sin. For the promises of the deliverance are the promises of the gospel. The power revealed in the judgments upon the gods of Egypt indicates the measure of the power provided for the deliverance from the hard service as the God of this world, the year in hell, January 23rd, 1930. For the blood on the doorpost is a symbol of the seal. He lived Revelation 7. Mark, and there is a seal, same thing as a mark of Ezekiel 9. Revelation 7 and Ezekiel 9 is the same mark or seal. See Testimonies, Message, page 445. The blood being applied on the doorpost is to signify that the seal or mark by which 144,000 are to be sealed is to be visible. The doorpost and the forehead both have the same significance. We do not mean to say that it is a certain visible brand or mark on their foreheads, but a seal of the character, principle, or a role, or rule, for the standard being the pure word of the Yahweh, thus they apply the blood on the doorpost and their brethren in the church to be conscious of its change. For the only ones who can have the seal are those who sigh and cry for all the abominations, sins that are done in the church. But if any take part and try to throw a cloak over the existing evil in the church, then they are left without the seal. Read volume 5. Pages 207 to 12. Volume 3, pages 266. Okay, that's the next subtitle is The Red Sea. For the Red Sea symbolizes Isaiah 63, Edom means red. Edom is Esau, the twin brother of Jacob. His name was changed to Edom because he sold his birthright for a bowl of red potters. And Esau himself was red, therefore we have Red Sea, red man, red potters, red Esau and Jacob. Section 3. She is a symbol of people. Revelation 17:15. For the Pharaoh and his host, the chief instigator against a reform, a reformation, Egypt had developed an intricate ecclesiastical organization. It was proud of the religious institution that it despised this people Israel who did not worship according unto the popular religion and who now under or with the message of the reform preached by the Moses were taking their stand yet more fully for the representing of the truth and for the keeping of the law of Moses. The year in hell, January 23rd, 1930. It is the church, the Seventh-day Church. Micah 2:12. Isaiah 34:6. Edomites, those who sow their birthright to gratify appetite, they make their stomachs their God. Violators of the health reform. For further explanation, see pages 156, with the heading "Afflicted for His People's sake." For the bondage in Egypt represents the bondage of sin. The promises of deliverance are the promises of the gospel. For the power revealed in the judgments upon the gods of the Egypt indicates a measure of the power provided for the deliverance from the hard service of the God of this world. The glorious triumph at the Red Sea foreshadows a victory which is assured unto every trusting child of Yahweh in view in the hill in January 23rd, 1930. Okay, Mount Sinai. It says that in the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of the Sinai. And Yahweh spake all these words, saying, I am the Yahweh, thy Yahweh, which have brought thee, I am the Yahshua, thy deliverer, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. But this is where Israel is today in the world. The true Israel is in the house of bondage. They're in Egypt. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Exodus 19:1. Exodus 21:3. It says, here is where the 430 years ended, beginning with the Abraham's going out of Ur, Patriarchs and Prophets, page 760. Here is where Moses organized a church when he appointed 70 elders, and where Yahweh spake unto the people himself. The experience at the Sinai is a symbol of the reorganization of the church, for Yahweh himself takes charge of the flock. We read in volume 5, page 80. We have been inclined to think that where there are no faithful ministers, there can be no true Christian. But this is not the case. Yahweh has promised that where the shepherds are not true, he will take charge of the flock himself. So, when did Yahshua take charge of the flock? 1955, when V.P. Hardock died. He was the last true shepherd up to 2002, when Yahshua came and changed the guard at Kermit Tessie at the Passover, during the Passover 2010, and took away from Rose Johnson. He was the last one that was not a true shepherd. Ben Roden, that succeeded V.P. Hardock, was not a true shepherd. Brother Johnson was not a true shepherd. Yahweh has never made the flock wholly dependent upon the human instrumentality. But the days of the purification of the church are hastening on apace. Yahweh will have a people pure and true. In a mighty sifting soon to take place, we shall be better able to measure the strength of Israel. The new name given to the church. This is our next subtitle. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, right? Now, the only angel that I know of was Brother Stephen Johnson, from Texas. He was the last in charge of the candlestick, the seventh candlestick of Laodicea, the SGA. And Yahweh says, I know thy works, if thou art neither cold nor hot. I would if thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. So Yeshua told Brother Samson that at Trimmer, Texas, at 2002 at the Passover. He said, well, he says, I've put you in charge for 32 years now, and you're neither cold nor hot. So he said, I will spew you out of my mouth. So he gave Brother Samson another 6 months to the atonement of 2002. And sure enough, Brother Samson proved that he was not trustworthy, and he had to be spewed out at the atonement 2002. Okay, so we're at the atonement season now, in 2024, 22 years later. And so he says, new name given to the church. Let's read this all again. And unto the angel, Robert W. Johnson, 2002, of the Church of the Gilead Center, of the Laodicea Sphere, right, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Revelation 3:14. Who is Israel by the promise? Note that the existence of the present name Seventh-day Adventist is conditional. Otherwise, the name will be spewed out of his mouth, and the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of Yeshua shall name. Isaiah 62:2. And you shall leave your name for a curse unto my chosen, the 144,000, for the Yeshua shall slay thee. Now this thee was the Gilead Center from attention. And when he says, I will slay thee and call his servants by another name. So who is this thee? He says, I will slay thee. He's talking about this angel of the seventh candlestick, one person. The prophet is put in charge at Gilead Center. And so Ezekiel 9 is what Yeshua used to take care of the judgment there at Kermit. And call his servants, now he's got, and call his servants by another name, Isaiah 65:15. He testimonies Moses, page 300. This is where Isaiah's prophecy in chapter 52:1 will be fulfilled. Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth there shall no more come unto thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Also read Isaiah 4, Zephaniah 3:13. The remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity, nor speak lies, neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth, for they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. For the remnant of Israel will not do iniquity, for the prophecy has never yet met its fulfillment in the history of the church, for there have always been the unclean in the midst of her. But let us thank Yahweh for this generous promise, for the scroll is making a turn. Shall we pray to Yahweh that we fall not out by the way and making the bend? Clad in the armor of Yahshua's righteousness, the church is entered upon her final conflict. Fair as the moon, clear as the sun, and terrible as an army with banners. She is to go forth into all the world, conquering and to conquer. Prophecy 7:25 by Ellen G. White. What is the number of Israel? This is another now subtitle. It has been made clear that Israel after the flesh is a photograph of Israel by the promise. Okay. So Israel by the promise is the purified Israel. And that would be the house of David with the 144,000 and the 12 pillars by the tower. This is when the Israel by the promise emerges in the last days as the antitype of Israel by the flesh coming out of Egypt. In the Exodus movement, all the tribes went out of Egypt. If this is a photograph of the Israel by the promise, then all the 12 tribes must come out now as well. 12 tribes must escape the ruin of the Ezekiel 9, death of the firstborn, and Isaiah 63, the Red Sea. For the number of them is said to be 12,000 from each tribe, making a total of 144,000. For the reason that they have passed through a similar experience as the ancient Israel, they, the 144,000, sing a new song of the Moses and the Lamb. Then he remembers the days of old, Moses and his people sinned. Where is he that brought them up out of the sea with the shepherd of his flock? Where is he that put his Holy Spirit within them, that led them by the right hand of the Moses with his glorious arm, dividing the water before them, to make himself an everlasting man, that led them through the deep as a horse in the wilderness, that they should not stumble as a beast goeth down into the valley. The spirit of the Yahshua caused him to rest, so didst thou lead thy people to make thyself a glorious man. Isaiah 63:11-14. This scripture cannot refer to another temple than the one we speak of. What constitutes the remnant is our next subtitle. For the definition of the remnant is that which is left after the separation, removal, or destruction of a part, Standard Dictionary. For the beginning of the church of Yahshua in the days of the apostles was not a large boat, just starting to unroll, getting smaller and smaller down through the ages, and now being at the end of the history of the church, be the smallest portion or that which is left. But on the contrary, the church just began then to roll on and had but a very small beginning. It has been rolling and rolling and putting on all through the ages. And the very end of the history of the church is by no means a remnant, for the remnant signifies a very small portion, a fragment or a small bit. The Master said the harvest is at the end of the world. The angels are the reapers, and there is reaping to be done. Harvest means a collection of crops to gather, store up, or garner in. According unto this, the harvest is by no means a remnant, but just the opposite. For at the harvest we gather in the most. For the remnant of Israel must be something else than what we have sought it to be. For a remnant is a small portion or part which is left after a destruction. For the destruction is the mighty shifting time, which is the separation of the two classes in the church. The scene of the 144,000 is prophesied in Ezekiel 9 and Isaiah 63. those who escape are the remnant. The Bible gives no other a definition of the remnant than the one given here. See Leviticus 5:13, 2 Kings 19:4, Isaiah 37:4, Ezra 9:8, Isaiah 1:9, Isaiah 11:11, Isaiah 16:14, Jeremiah 44:28, Ezekiel 6:8, Joel 2:32, Romans 11:5, and Revelation 11:13. In the 11th chapter of Isaiah is recorded the same incident we have tried to explain here. In the 11th verse, we read of the remnant which we speak of, and it shall come to pass in that day that the Asher shall set his hand again the second time for the recovering of the remnant of his people, which shall be left. Isaiah 11:11. Early writings, page 270, I asked the meaning of the shaking I had seen, and it was shown that it would be caused by the straight testimony called forth by the counsel of the true witness unto the letter sent. This will have its effect upon the heart of the receiver and will lead him to exalt the standard and pour forth the straight truth. For this happened down at Kermit when Yahweh gave me the message for verse, July 14, 2002. And I gave him the message that he needed to restore the daily, restore the sanctuary system back to his lawful order that he had rescinded. And he said, well, no, we don't have to do that, really. We next keep the daily when we get into the land. Some will not bear this straight testimony. They will rise up against it, and this is what will cause a shaking among Yahweh's people. Isaiah 11:12. First part, and he shall set up an ensign for the nation. Again we read in Isaiah 66:19, and I will set a sign among them, and I will send those that escape of them unto the nation. The 63rd chapter was the same reference as Isaiah 59, part of verse 19, this here quoted. So shall they fear the name of the Asher from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. The sign is extensive from the east to the west, and has a meaning for the entire world. The destruction is a sign and example unto the nation, and the remnant are those who are left, the 144,000. Following this, we have the loud cry, the harvest, those who come up unto every point and stand every test and overcome, be the price what it may. I have heeded the counsel of the true witness, and they will receive the latter rain, and thus be fitted for the translation. Volume 1, page 187. But he said, nay, thus far you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. They both go together until the harvest, and in the time of the harvest I will say unto the reapers, get ye together first the tares, and bind them in the bundles, to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Matthew 13:29-30. The same thought is also supported in patriarchs and prophets. Page 541. The feast of the tabernacles was not only commemorative, but typical. It not only pointed back to the wilderness sojourn, but as the feast of the harvest, it celebrated the ingathering of the fruits of the earth, and pointed forward unto the great day of the final ingathering, when the Yeshua of the harvest shall send forth his reapers to gather the tares together in boughs for the fire, and to gather the wheat into his garden. At that time the wicked will all be destroyed, those outside the church. Note that the separation takes place just at the beginning of the harvest. Also that the tares are gathered in first, for the separation marks the beginning of the harvest. The harvest is found, for the harvest is in the time of the loud cry of the third angel's message, Revelation 1. In this time of the harvest, the great multitude of Revelation 7-9, with their palms in their hands, is gathered. While the great multitude is being made up and gathered into his barn, the reapers are binding the wicked in bundles, separated or kept apart from the church for the wrath of Yahweh. See Revelation 14:19. A cloud by day, fire by night. This is our next subtitle. And Yahshua went before them by the day in a pillar of a cloud. This is Yahshua the Son, to lead them in the way, and by night in a pillar of the fire, for the giving them light, and for the going by the day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by the day, nor the pillar of the fire by the night. From before the people, it was not Moses that led Israel out of Egypt, but the pillar of the cloud that went before the people. And the Yahweh went before them to lead them in the way to go by the day and by the night. He took not away the pillar from before the people. Exodus 13:21-22. According unto 1 Corinthians 10:4, in this pillar of the cloud by the day and the pillar of the fire by the night was Yahshua himself, and did all drink of the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh. Thus we see that the Yahshua led out Israel unto himself, or led out Israel unto himself, and not Moses. The people, as well as Moses, followed the cloud. All Moses did was to convey to the people the word and instructions received from the Yahshua, that rock in the cloud. Okay, so it's Yahshua that's leading by the house of David today. And who is Israel by the promise? This is the experience of Israel after faith, which we call a photograph of Israel by the promise. If this is true, then the 144,000 must experience the same and the departing out from the worldlings. Egypt, Volume 5, page 80. Yahweh has promised that where the shepherds are not true, he will take charge of the flock himself. Patriarchs and Prophets, page 283. And one of the most beautiful and comforting passages of Isaiah's prophecy, reference is made unto the pillar of the cloud and of the fire to represent the Yahweh's care for his people in their great final struggle with the powers of the evil. For Yahshua will creep upon every dwelling place of the Mount Zion and upon all her assemblies a cloud and a smoke by the day and a sign of a flaming fire by the night. For above all the glory shall be a covering, and there shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime from the heat, and for a place of refuge, and for a covert from the storm and from the rain. Thus the idea of Israel being a photograph is supported by both the Bible and the spirit of the prophecy. Okay, we got Joseph, type of the Yahshua. for the Joseph standard, the perfect type of the Yashira. So this is our last subtitle for this study, Joseph, type of Yashira. First of all, the name Joseph means he shall add. So Yashira added the human family to the heavenly. Had any sin been recorded against Joseph, it would have spoiled the type. For Yashira is not a sinner. Joseph was loved by his father above all his brethren. And Yashira we read in Hebrews 1:9, Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore Yahweh, even thou Yahweh, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Joseph was sent down into Egypt for the preserving of the lives of his brethren in the 7 years of their famine. Just so, Yashira descended to preserve the lives of his brethren in this world of sin and A.D. Joseph was sold unto the Ishmaelites, who were the descendants of the Ishmael, Abraham's seed after the flesh. Thus so Yashira was sold to the priests, the descendants of Abraham, Israel after the flesh. Joseph was a governor, and no man should lift hand or foot in all the land of Israel without the knowledge of Joseph. Just so, Yashira is a governor over the world, Egypt, and no man can lift his hand or foot without the knowledge of the Yashira. As there was only one above Joseph, namely Pharaoh, just so there is only one above Yashira, and that's the Father, Yahweh. Joseph was 30 years old when he became governor. Yashira was 30 years of age when anointed. As Joseph married the daughter of an idolatrous priest, just so Yashira married his church, which is made up of idolatrous nations. As Joseph gathered the corn in the 7 years of the plenty into the storehouse, houses, to feed the world in the 7 years of famine, just so Yashira gathered the word of Yahweh in the Old Testament time into the great storehouse, the Bible, to feed the world in the New Testament time. One may say, the New Testament came in A.D. True, but the New Testament is only the fulfillment of the Old. Had not Joseph become a governor of Egypt before the beginning of the 7 years of plenty, he would have spoiled the significance, and the type would not then have indicated that Yashira ruled before the world's history began. Thus we say, Joseph is a perfect type of the Yashira. Pharaoh, type of the leaders. For the Pharaoh who honored Joseph is a perfect type of the earthly head of the church of the apostles. Had Pharaoh not been an Egyptian, it would have spoiled the type. Egypt, a symbol of the world, signifies an earthly leadership taken out of the world. Had not Pharaoh honored Joseph above every man in Egypt, or had he not commanded the Egyptians to go to Joseph for corn, it would have spoiled the symbol of the church leadership in the days of the apostles. For they exalted and honored Yashira above every man in the entire world. Also commended the Gentiles to Yashira as their life giver. If the first Pharaoh makes a perfect type of the church leadership in the days of the apostles, then we must accept the last Pharaoh, who knows not Joseph, as a perfect type of the church leadership who have turned from following Yahshua, their leader, Volume 5, page 217. For the Seventh day Adventist church has turned back from following Yahshua, their leader, and is steadily retreating toward Egypt. Thus, Israel, with the true, 144,000, became slaves under the Egyptian bondage, the sins in the world. The bondage of Egypt represents the bondage of sin, review in hell, January 23rd, 1930. And the harp and the vial, the tabret and pipe and wine are in their feet, but they regard not the work of the Yeshua, neither consider the operation of his hand. Therefore my people are gone into captivity, because they have no knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with the thirst. Isaiah 5:12-13. Israel, being a type of this Advent movement, is not a new idea just thought of in this lesson, for the whole denomination believes so. For we read in the Review and Herald, October 10, 1929, for the following statement: while the Exodus movement was a great movement, the Second Advent movement will be still greater. Yahweh will take out a people, not from one nation only, but from every nation under heaven, and he will lead them into the heavenly Canaan. For this Advent movement, of which the Exodus movement was a type, we believe was foretold in the prophecy in the following stirring language: it shall come to pass in that day that the Yeshua shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left. It shall be a highway for the remnant of his people, like as it was to Israel in the days that he came up out of the land of Egypt. Isaiah 11:16. For the word type means the same as the word photograph. For the very first photo invented was called the tintype. Thus we have the approval of the SDA denomination that Israel after the flesh is a photograph of Israel by the promise, the 144,000. As Yahweh called out Israel from Egypt anciently, just so now Yahweh is calling his church out from the dwellings and wilderness to be a separate, peculiar people unto his honor and glory. This does not mean another movement, but it does mean that Yahweh is to deal with the entire body, and those who escape are Israel, the 144,000. Quoting Review and Herald, May 1st, 1930. Every evil thing must be shaken from the movement. So it was in the Exodus movement, when there was sin among the people. Yahweh did not give up that movement which he had brought out of Egypt and start another one. He did not call the believers out, but he shook unbelief out of the movement by destruction, causing their death. He purified it by setting aside from it every element that did not belong with the movement that he was leading according to his promise. On one pretext or another, unbelief and disorder moved out, while the movement itself marched on. If the Exodus movement is a photograph of the truth, then the 430-year period connected with the ancient Israel must be considered with the one now. Our next subtitle is the 430 years of the sojourning and affliction. And this brings the end of our study. This hour, contact us at the 11th hour call. That's number 11. It's on the audio archive. We're going to close now with a song.